that was a visual that maybe brought to us the importance. A lot of people trying to save themselves. Why in the world would Christ go through all of that if we could save ourselves? All right, we need to trust in the Lord. Now, just for a little bit, I'd like to turn our attention to those of us who are already saved, and this will have to do with all of us. If you have a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And I'd like you just to stand and stretch just for a minute while we read the scriptures. Genesis chapter number 3, and I want you to read the story with me out loud, okay? Some of you can read pretty well. Some of you maybe can't and just have to listen. Genesis chapter number 3, if you find that in your Bibles, I want you to read with me all the way down from verses 1 through 6 together. Let's try it. Ready? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Please be seated. Couple more verses say this in verse 7, And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now, just for a little while this morning, I want to speak on this subject of the oldest trick in the book. The oldest trick in the book. This is now, I'm not talking about the oldest trick in the Bible, I'm talking about the oldest trick in the book of the devil's tricks that he plays on human beings. The very trick that he played here on Adam and Eve, he's doing today. And as a result, many of us in this room are not enjoying life because we have fallen for the oldest trick in the book that is written down for us here all the way back in Genesis chapter number 3 and verses 1 through 6. And I want to encourage you to listen for a little bit, and when you leave here, make up your mind and say, I am not going to fall for the oldest trick in the book. Maybe the devil's gotten millions of other people, but not me. I'm not going to fall for this. And I want you adults to kind of listen today like maybe you were children. And that's a good way to approach the Bible anyway, with a childlike faith and a childlike spirit. I think we get more out of it that way. What's the oldest trick in the book? Let's look at the story here. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any one of the beasts of the field. Now the serpent here is the devil. Now the devil wasn't made like a snake, but he just happens to possess this snake, and he happens to possess. In fact, the devil was made as a cherubim. Now, if you don't know what that is, when you think about all the angels that God made, he made them in three different categories. There were angels, there were cherubims, and there were seraphims. Angels, believe it or not, don't have any wings. Now you say, well, the ones in my house do. Well, they're not really a good picture of what the Bible says. Cherubims had two wings, and the seraphims had six wings, okay? So there's three different categories of the angelic host that God made. The devil was a cherubim. He was perfect when God first made him. You can read about his creation in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. He was perfect. He was beautiful. He was the most beautiful of all the angelic hosts that God ever made, so that people looked at him and said, wow, He was very musical. He had music inside of him. Man, he was just made with music. He didn't have to learn it. He was full of wisdom. Boy, there's hardly anything he didn't know. He was amazing, and he was perfect. And there was a time when he had never sinned. But you know, he got to thinking about himself, and he got to thinking, man, you know, I'm better than God. And people ought to be worshiping me rather than God. And this created a rebellion in his heart against God. So that since that time he fell because of his own sin, he has been at war with God, trying to get all the worship God gets and all the praise God gets. And he hates God because God threw him out of heaven and said, nope, I'm going to be the only God in heaven. You get out. And his day is coming. He's already been judged by God. He hasn't been sentenced yet. But God has already been sentenced, but he hasn't been judged yet. God sentenced him to spend eternity in a place called hell that God made for the devil and all of the angels that rebelled with the devil. God doesn't want any of us to go there, but a whole lot of humans have also rejected God and have not trusted in Christ, as Russ told us we need to do from the Bible today. That's sad. And so hell is enlarging itself. The Bible says hell enlarges, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger because more and more people are going there. They don't have to, but they do because they never trust Christ as their Savior. Well, the devil, the Bible says, can appear sometimes and other times disappear. Sometimes he's visible, sometimes he's invisible. Other times he likes to possess bodies. Did you know the devil can possess a human body? He can also possess the bodies of animals. In Matthew 16 and verse 23, Jesus said this, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Jesus said this talking to a guy named Peter. Peter had the devil working through him one time. And sometimes you and I do too. Peter was a good man, but at that time, at that moment, he just allowed the devil to get the best of him, and he tried stopping Jesus from going to the cross to be crucified for us. And the devil said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God." In Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 16, again the Lord is speaking here, and the Bible says this, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." Man, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Many were possessed with devils. The devil can get into people. The devil can get into people. And you know what, boys and girls? We need to stay away from those things that open up doors for the devil to hassle us. We need to stay away from rock and roll music. And we need to stay away from pornography, and we need to stay away from drugs, and we need to stay away from alcohol, and we need to stay away from horror movies, and we need to stay away from zombie movies, and all these other things that can be doors to demonism, to the devils possessing people. This is not funny. We see a lot of troubled children today. It's getting so bad in our society. Society doesn't know what to do with them, so they put them all on drugs. Not all of them. Some have problems, other problems, health problems, but a lot of these kids are on drugs. Man, you wonder sometimes if maybe they're not just troubled by an evil spirit. Now, don't worry, kids. I'm not saying every kid that's bad is troubled by an evil spirit, but some of them are. Some adults are. The Bible says that Jesus came across a man one time who was possessed with a legion of devils. There were so many that when he cast them out, they left his body and went into a whole herd of swine, thousands of pigs. And the pigs ran violently down a hill, fell over a cliff, fell into the sea, and drowned. That's a true story. That's a true story. And the best way to avoid that stuff is to stay away from those things that can introduce you to devils, demon-possessed, witchcraft, sorcery, astrology. All those things, kids, stay away from that. Stay away from it. And horoscopes, all kinds of things. Just stay away from those things. And stay close to Jesus. You know, when somebody stays close to Jesus, the Bible says his rod and his staff comforts us. We're not in fear. We have comfort. Jesus is pictured in the Bible like a shepherd, and all of us boys and girls are pictured like sheep around him in a flock. But some sheep don't like to be near Jesus, and so they go and wander off in different directions. And you know what's out there when they wander off? The Bible says lions are hiding. They're hiding in the trees and the shrubs and the mountains and so on and so forth. And the Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And you know which ones he devours? The ones that are farthest away from the shepherd. He doesn't come near the shepherd. Why? The shepherd will beat him off with his rod and his staff. The shepherd will kill the lion. David was a shepherd boy. He once killed a lion with his own hands, and he killed a bear while he was protecting his sheep. And Jesus is our shepherd. And if we'll stay real close to Jesus Christ, you'll be safe. And those things I talked about earlier won't get you. Stay close to the Lord. Stay in church. Stay in your Bible. Stay in prayer. Stay close to the Lord Jesus. And so, he can go in. He's described as a lion. He's described as a serpent. He possessed a bunch of pigs one time. He can get into animals, and that's what happened here. This serpent is the devil himself in our story. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. That word subtle, kids, means he was tricky. He was sly. He was crafty. He could deceive people real easily. Now, you think about Adam and Eve in this story, and guess what, kids? He's perfect. Adam is perfect. Eve is perfect. They've never sinned. And yet they got faked out. What match are we? What match are we for him? You know, one time back in the book of Revelation, it tells us who this serpent was. In Revelation 12 and verse 9, it says, and that great dragon which was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That means you and I, us people that are in it. He's really good. He deceives the whole world. It says, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Again, in Revelation 20 and verse 2, it says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So in our story, this serpent is the devil. Doesn't say it, but it is. The rest of the Bible says it. And he was more subtle. And boy, he comes up to Eve. And now he's going to start working on her what I call the oldest trick on earth. He starts to get her to question God's word. He says, yea, if God said, thou shalt, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. He's a liar. Jesus said in John 8:44, kids, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He's got some whoppers he's telling people nowadays. He's telling people we evolved from a bunch of slime one day. And we just decided we're tired of living in the slime. I think we'll grow some feet and grow out and walk out. And man, he's told that lie for so long and for so many years that people are starting to believe in evolution. He's got some real whoppers. There was a real bad man on earth one time named Adolf Hitler. You know what he said? You know what his philosophy was? He says, you tell a lie long enough, and you tell a lie often enough, and the people will believe it. And Adolf Hitler said, and the bigger the lie is, the better. And he believed in that evolution stuff, Adolf Hitler. He convinced all the youth of Germany that were growing up in his day. Not all of them, but he convinced those that became his troops that the Jewish people were just a bunch of parasites. And that in order for us to advance evolution, we need to get rid of the subhuman people. And so he tried to get rid of all of the Jews. And then he was going to try to get rid of people who were black people. And then he was going to get rid of all the Asian people. And he was going to get rid of everybody until the only ones left were the Aryans, the Nordics, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. You know why? Because he believed in evolution. He believed we're just a bunch of advanced animals. Isn't that sick? That's horrible. In case you didn't know it, the Jews are God's chosen people. They're very, very special. Whoever touches them touches the apple of his eye. They're very, very special people. And the bigger the lie, I mean, he's a liar and he's the father of lies. Oh, I remember many times in my life growing up and hearing the truth. And saying, boy, somebody lied to me when I was growing up and I had to get corrected. And that's what the Bible does. It corrects us. And so he says to Eve, you're not going to die. That's a lie. Guess what happened to her? She died. God was right and he was wrong. God's always right and he's always wrong. She died. Not only did she die, but she gave the fruit to her husband. He disobeyed the Lord and he died. And her sons, Cain and Abel, they got to fighting with each other, and her son murdered her other son, Abel. The first family had a murder in it. What a horrible thing disobedience to God does. And you know how he brought that about? He brought that about by convincing them of what's the oldest trick in the Bible. The oldest trick in the world. And you know what it is? It's simply this. The oldest trick in the world is when the devil gets us to focus on what we can't have and ignore what we can have. That's the oldest trick in the book. I mean, Adam and Eve were probably surrounded by thousands of trees. And the devil didn't say, hey, come over here, look at this orange tree. Aren't these oranges great, man? They're so juicy. You bite into them and the juice just splashes all over you. And look at this peach tree over here. You can eat this peach tree anytime you want. You want some nuts? Here's a pecan tree. Here's almonds. All right? And if you want a coconut, there's a coconut tree. Mangoes, whatever. No, the devil didn't say that. The devil said, come here. See this tree right here? God's holding out on you. You can't have this. This is forbidden fruit. He says that if you eat this fruit, you're going to die. You're not going to die. Don't listen to God. But what's going to really happen to you is you're going to become like gods. And you're going to be able to determine from that day on for yourself what is good and what is evil. In other words, Eve, by participating in this, by going after this forbidden fruit, you can become your own God. You can become your own God. You can do whatever you want. You know what the Bible says? Did you read that? It says this, and the woman, it says, when she saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, notice the next two words, with her. I used to think Adam was off somewhere plowing or something. The Bible says he was right there with her. And she ate, took the fruit, and gave it to him. And it says their eyes were open, and all of a sudden they had lost all their innocency. They lost their innocency, and they started looking at each other and said, man, we're naked. And they ran and they sewed fig leaves together and they started covering themselves. They were so ashamed. Can you imagine how much shame you would feel if you walked in here naked today and everybody else was dressed? That's how they felt. That's how they felt. And it says as a result of their sin and falling for the oldest trick in the book, they hid themselves from the presence of God. Did you ever feel so bad that you did something so bad you might as well not even go to church? You did something so bad, you might not, why should I even pray? Did you ever do that? I've done that before. I've done things so bad, I felt so bad about what I did. I said, man, I shouldn't even go to church. I'm too filthy to go there. Did you ever think of something so bad, you thought, man, why should I even pray? God knows what I thought. And you end up hiding yourself from God. But the good thing is God comes looking for us. Amen? God comes looking for us, and God came walking in the evening in the cool of the night and said, Adam, where art thou? Adam, and God calls for you someday. God's looking for you. God wants to be reconciled He wants to be your friend again, even though our sins have separated us, and by trusting in Christ as our Savior. Let me just say this. What's this got to do? This is Thanksgiving. Listen, and here's the last thing. The oldest trick in the book is God comes up to every one of us and tries to get us focused on something we don't have, something someone has that's better than us. Boy, they have a better car than you. They have a better job than you. They have a better life than you. They have a nicer wife than you have. They have a nicer husband than you have. They have nicer sneakers than you have and nicer clothes and they have a nicer cell phone than you have, and he gets you to focus. Boys and girls, he wants to get you to focus on the one or two things you don't have because maybe your family can't afford it. Or maybe you go to school and somebody has a mommy and daddy and they have a really happy family and your mommy and daddy divorced and it's really hard on you. Or maybe somebody's taller than you or more handsome than you or more muscular than you are or more athletic than you are and you're trying your hardest but they do better than you in sports. They're more popular than you are in school. And the devil says, focus on this one thing you can't have. Focus on this forbidden fruit. He comes to married men sometimes and tries to get them to focus on this one woman over here, not your wife. It's forbidden fruit. He comes to married women, does the same thing, tries to get them to focus on a different man. Boy, if I just had him for a husband instead of this guy, wow, would I be happy. I'd have it made. That's the oldest trick in the book. Is to get a human being to focus on one or two things they can have rather than the thousands and thousands and thousands of things that they already have because of God's blessings and God's benefits. You want to know how to get the victory over this? The way to get the victory over this is by having a thankful heart. See, the devil's going to try this trick on every one of us. He learned it back in the garden. He said, man, these people are easy. I think I'll pull this off on everybody. And here we are in 2011, and he's still getting people to focus on forbidden fruit. Do you know how you get rid of the devil? The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Bible gives us this insight that there's one thing the devil can't stand, and that's praise. He can't stand people and being around people who praise God. And so you know what he does when people praise God? He runs away. It's right in the Bible. When people praise God, the devil runs away. And he runs down the street somewhere and says, I'm going to go bother someone else. I'm going to leave this person alone. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now there's different ways to praise the Lord. You can play an instrument. Well, that leaves a lot of us out. The Bible says people can praise the Lord with instruments. You can sing. Well, that leaves a lot of people out because they can't sing with beans, all right? But there's another way in the book of Hebrews. It says the sacrifice of our mouth, giving thanks to the Lord. Giving thanks to the Lord. I was praying with one of our young men the other day in prayer meeting, and in his prayer he said, Lord, he said, if we really knew as human beings all that you do for us, Lord, you do thousands of things for us every second. Now, there's a young man who's thinking right there. Every breath we take, trillions and trillions of cells in our bodies that are multiplying and replenishing each other. Seeing eye, the hearing ear, the Lord hath made them both. Kids, they didn't evolve. God made the seeing eye. God made the hearing ear. Having a sound mind to be able to think. Being mobile, the Bible says the ability to move and to walk like I'm walking right now is because God allows us to do that. All of creation, man, he's got the moon pulling the tides in and letting them back every day. Why? For man. He's got the sun, you know, which is pouring out its light upon all the plant life and their chlorophyll and the plant life is taking it and turning it into oxygen so all the plants are there to give off oxygen so you and I can breathe. thousands and thousands and thousands of things God does for us every second. And the devil says, look at this one thing you can't have. God's really lousy, isn't he? That's what he does. And the answer is thanksgiving. The answer is thanksgiving. Start with your physical being and just say, Lord, I want to thank you for my eyesight. I can see there's blind people in this world. I can hear there's people who can't hear. And I have hands and fingers. There's some people who don't. They're immobile. They can't work. I have a sound mind. I can think. I'm mobile. I can walk around. I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm not paralyzed. I could go to church today. Man, you just start praising the Lord for your physical well-being. I don't have diseases or sicknesses that I know of and so on and so forth. And you just start praising the Lord for all of your physical blessings, and guess what? You turn around, the devil's gone. He says, man, I'm going to go bother someone else. And then you go from your physical needs to your material blessings. You say, Lord, I have a car. Maybe it's not as good as the other cars in the parking lot. I got a car. I got a house. I got a roof over my head. It's dry. We got a heater in the house. The house is warm. We got food in the house. We can eat food. Man, we got a hot water tank. We can take hot showers. Man, did you ever take a cold shower? Look, there's people all over the world that don't have what the poorest of you have in America. And you can go down, I got a washing machine. We got a dryer. We got a microwave oven and a nice oven and refrigerator and freezer and all these things, and you just start going off that, man, I got a house, I got a yard, I got a lawnmower, I got so many things. You can start listing things all day. Got clothes, and the devil's gone. Then you go to your physical needs, your physical things God's given you, material things, and then you go to the spiritual. That's where it gets real good. I got Jesus. He's my Savior, man. I've got love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and the fruit of the Spirit. I got the Holy Ghost living inside of me from now, forever, for all of eternity. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter is. I've got the Holy Ghost. Got the Bible in the English language. I can pray anytime I want. I can pray to God. I can serve the Lord. I've got freedom. I've got liberty. And you just start praising the Lord and thanking the Lord, and guess what? He's gone. You know what Adam and Eve should have done? What we should do today. She should have said, no, thank you, Satan. I got all these thousands of trees around me, and I can eat out of any one of them I want to whenever I want to. No, thank you. But she didn't. So many of us today, the devil has us focused on one thing in our life that's not right. Or one thing about our health that's not right. One thing about our spouse that's not right. Or one thing about our finances. Or some guy's got a cuter boyfriend than I have. Some guy's got a, or some girl's got a cuter, what a, did I get this right? Strike that. Best not to even have boyfriends or girlfriends. Amen? Just enjoy everybody in school. All right? That's Christianity, is where we just love everybody. You get yourself a boyfriend or girlfriend, you're going to get isolated. And you're going to start forgetting about your parents and your church and your God and everybody else. All right. I want to encourage you, don't fall for the oldest trick in the book. Think this through. I know I didn't do that good of a job illustrating, but think it through in your life. What am I focused on? What's he got me focused on right now that is keeping me from enjoying my God and all the benefits and all the blessings that he gives me, thousands of them every second? And let's grow up spiritually today and say, I'm not falling for it anymore. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Everybody, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed in prayer. I want to encourage you to have a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Man, when I start thanking the Lord, pretty soon the next thing you know, I'm thinking, man, I am the richest man on earth. I am the richest man on earth. God has been so good to me. I'm not thinking about my car with 165,000 miles on it and what's that rattle in the front end. No, I'm thinking, boy, God, you've been so good to me. If I never had a car again, I'd have to walk the rest of my life. You have been so good to me. How's your attitude today? As the piano begins to play a song of invitation, maybe some of you right now would want to stand to your feet, step out to the aisle, come down front here and say, you know, I've been just complaining too much, or griping, or fretting, or worrying, and I just got to get right with God. And I'm going to use this Thanksgiving Sunday to just thank the Lord. Maybe you just want to come. Maybe you are a thankful person. Maybe you're a thankful little boy, a thankful little girl. I hope your spirit never changes. But maybe you want to come and just thank the Lord for something today. At this altar, you come. Some are coming. How about you? Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being so good to me. How about all your physical? You know, some of you think, well, I'm not cute or I'm not handsome and I'm mad at God because I don't look as good as some of the other girls in school. Let me tell you something. Beauty is overrated. A lot of those people have a lot of problems the rest of their life. You ought to thank the Lord today. You got your eyes working, your ears working. The Bible says every breath God gives. Did you know that the blood in your body makes a journey of over 12,000 miles every day in your body? The blood circulates. 12, that's halfway around the world. The blood through your arteries and capillaries and so on and so forth, through your heart. 12,000 miles, your blood. And boy, if it ever took a day off, you're done. I'm done. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Did you ever think of that? Lord, thank you. You know? Thank you for the blood that keeps us alive. Won't you go to this altar today? Maybe thank the good Lord for something. For something. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. Maybe you want to just thank the Lord right where you're sitting. Say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I'm not worthy. As Russ said, only Jesus. Only Jesus can save my precious soul. Give the Lord thanks today. You know what'll change your attitude? It'll change your home. Thankfulness. Thank God for Mom. Thank God for Dad. Maybe they're not what they ought to be. Maybe they need to be saved. You boys and girls are saved, and you need to start praying for Mom and Dad to be saved. But you ought to thank God. Thank God for your school. Thank God your daddy has a job or you have some money, some food. If you're not saved today, then right where you're sitting, I want to encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you've never asked the Lord to save you from your sins. Russ made it clear. We do come as sinners to God and realize we can't save ourselves. But we trust Christ the Savior who died on the cross for us. We saw what he went through. We saw illustrated a little bit of what he went through for us. Have you trusted Christ? If not, then right where you're sitting, I want you to call out to God and maybe say something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I am sorry for my sins. I trust your Son, the Lord Jesus, to save me from all my sins. God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place on the cross, paying my fine, paying the wages of my sin. Thank you for shedding your blood to wash away all my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. Come into my heart. Save me. Please give me the gift of eternal life. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for that. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe some today are praying
Maybe you've asked Jesus just now while I was praying. Maybe you were following along, but you prayed to God in your minute. You've asked the Lord to save you. Would you just raise your hand? No one's looking. Just raise your hand up. Take it down. Say, God knows my heart. While you were praying, I've asked Jesus. God bless you. You put your hand down. Yes, you too. Anybody else today? Raise your hand up. Take it down. Say, God knows my heart. I've asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. All right. I'm going to ask the pianos to find the song, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. We're going to leave singing this song. And man, I hope, please, I hope it was clear today. Don't fall for the oldest trick in the book, where the devil gets you to focus on the one or two things you can't have rather than the thousands of things you do have or can have. What's the number? Let's turn to page 328.